Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, August 18th, 2014. With me today, I have just incredible wealth of knowledge right here in front of me. Brian Chaffin, how are you, Brian?
Woohoo! I'm doing well, dude!
Woohoo! And John Martellaro, how are you, John?
I'm all invigorated. I got my walk in this morning, so I'm feeling snappy.
Snappy.
Excellent. Snappy.
Excellent. All right, so the first thing that I wanted to take a look at today is a piece that you wrote on Friday, John, and it's about the security issues that we are potentially facing with all of the home automation devices. And well, just networkable devices that are coming into our homes.
Well, that's the key word, is potential. We haven't diagnosed the state of the situation yet. But last week, as I was collecting articles for Particle Debris, it seemed like I ran across an awful lot of articles about concerns about these new devices. You know, we spent years learning how to manage firewalls and close off ports and manage our Macs and our routers. And then the iPhone came along, and then we spent years working on security issues and privacy on the phone, and then we pretty much got that nailed now. And then now we have a new generation of devices that are ready to flood into the home, not all of which are made by Apple. And so I ran across some articles that addressed some concerns about this, because you know the devices tend to be operating alike because there's a lot of competition. Firmware comes from stock sources and isn't always examined really carefully. Products are in a very competitive market where security, extreme and excruciating detail to security, the way Apple attends to it in the iPhone, may not appear in some of these new home automation products. And so Johnny Evans talked about last week about can Apple perhaps help keep us safe from the Internet of Things? There was an article at CSO that said a study finds firmware plagued by poor encryption and backdoors could pose problems for homeowners. And so I started all of a sudden, and going back to the iPhone even, which is not susceptible, gyroscopes in some of the Android phones are susceptible to eavesdropping because of the way the gyroscope vibrates and can pick up acoustic sound. So there was just a wealth of articles last week about new and inventive and creative ways that hackers can come into these devices. Consumer devices that are pushed out and maybe don't have the attention to security detail that Apple puts into the iPhone and the iPads and the Macintosh. So, it was filled up a whole page.
I'm not getting why, with the long track record that we have, we just meaning that the consumer electronic and technology world, in trying to create a more secure environment for us, why these companies would start introducing these products without taking that into account. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, sir, I mean, it's what business does until business is forced to. It's what capital does until capital is forced to stop and take proper stock of things. I mean, right? This is like history. This is reality.
Yeah, I know. It's sometimes I guess I have a hard time wrapping my head around reality, because reality and common sense don't always intersect.
I think some of these companies that are building home automation are jumping in. They're kind of new to the internet services arena, and they don't have the background, the years of experience in the school of hard knocks that Google and Apple and Microsoft and Amazon have, that really bad things are going out there. So far they've been happy-go-lucky, building locks and building thermostats and happily building other devices, key locks and so on, and light bulbs. And You know, and then all of a sudden they go, oh, yeah, we can buy a Wi-Fi chip from Asia for 19 cents and put it in our device. Oh, we'll sell millions. So I think that's sort of my view, maybe not fully correct or based on any information I have, but I sort of kind of feel that that's...
Yeah, and for small companies, worrying about the hack tomorrow makes a lot more sense than the hack that you haven't had. Worrying about it when it happens is a lot easier than worrying about it before it happens. You know, it's companies that have a lot at stake and are regular targets for lawsuits, especially a target company like Apple, or you know, any of the big tech companies who have already learned this lesson. They're the ones who might actually think about it. But you know, the rest, not so much.
So we're going to go all over this again. We're going to start all over. There's going to be tons of articles and how to secure your thermostat and how to keep hackers from hacking your front door the way some of them have been able to do with cars that we've heard about. It's just going to be all sorts of fun again, you know, writing articles about how to secure your system.
Yeah, you know, and I'm just sitting here thinking about this, and it occurred to me that this is a conversation that our parents never, ever would have had. You know, talking about, well, I needed to upgrade the firmware on my light bulb so no one could hack into my network.
It's true.
Or, mm-hmm. Well, and I know this isn't directly related, but the other day I updated the firmware on my pencil. So the stylus for my iPad, I had to update the firmware on that. These are sentences that we never would have said even a few years ago.
Marge passed the butter. Oh, and can you update the firmware on the icebox? Yeah.
What I'm curious about is you come home after a thunderstorm and the power's out in your house, and you're trying to get into your front door. I think you have to have a key backup, don't you? I mean, you just got to have a key backup system in case your house power goes out.
Yeah, and the various remote entry lock systems that I've seen as replacements for regular deadbolts on front doors, mm-hmm. they have a keyhole as well.
All right, good.
Yeah, that's good. So the other thing that I wanted to talk about today was something that I found incredibly interesting as it was all coming together. And this was a piece that Kelly wrote where she highlighted the different items that we all have in our menu bars on our Macs.
Yep.
And I'm curious, of the different menu bar items that you guys are using, which are your favorites?
John, do you actually have any anything in your menu bar that could even be a favorite?
I keep things simple. One of my favorites that I've used for years is the menu calendar clock. It's made by some guys in Germany, but the link is for a Mac update site where you can easily download it. And what it does is it gives you great control over the appearance of your clock. You may notice that even though my menu bar is simple, my clock is very elaborate compared to the other guys. And it's in red because OS X won't allow you to change the color of definitely, your clock. It's pissed me off for years.
It's definitely red.
So, and then I've got minutes and seconds. I've also got the date and the month and the day in there. So, and I can drop up a little calendar really quickly with a snap in the menu bar, as opposed to having to fire up BusyCal or even bring it up from the background. So, I've been using that, I think, ever since Mac OS X came out. OS X. And then another one I like is Clip Menu, which allows me to create a stacked list of items from my copy and paste list. That's especially helpful when I'm editing articles. And what I want is the next to the last thing I copied and not the last thing. So those are two of my favorites.
Clip Menu is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I am a huge fan of iStat menus. As a matter of fact, most of us are using, I guess me and Dave and Jeff, is that right?
Yes, I think that's it.
Yeah, so I'm a huge fan of iStat menus, mainly because it gives me all the information. And I use their clock and calendar replacement because their clock and calendar are both more useful than the built-in one in OS X.
You know, the thing you're doing, Brian, that you mentioned before we started recording,
mm-hmm.
that was something that sounded just like brilliant to me. You have, what, 8 cores, 54 cores, something like that in your Mac?
It's just 8. It's a 2008 Mac Pro. It's old.
Yeah, so, and it's 8 cores. And you have iStat menu showing the activity for every single core instead of having just one little graph showing your overall activity. And your reasoning for that, I thought, was so smart.
Yeah, it's because, you know, if you have a runaway process, runaway processes tend to, not always, but they tend to only use one core. And it's a lot easier to see when that's happening if you can see all of your cores at once. So like if I've got something that's being slow or looks like it may even be hanging up, I can look up and, you know, sure enough, there's one of my cores pegged at 100%. And you miss that when you have everything combined into one. And that is why I have them separated. But the other big thing that I use is I constantly monitor memory usage, because even with 18 gigs of RAM, OS X still
it'll
starts
chew
it'll chew that up and start doing page ins and page outs. And by having ready access to how much RAM is being used and how much RAM is not being used, I can know when I need to go over to the memory keeper from the Mac Keeper folks and clean my memory.
Yes, I like that one too.
You know, the other thing that's interesting about this article is that you can tell something about the editors by looking at the time in their menu bar. The rest of us all have times, you know, in the afternoon, you know, sane hours of the day. If you look at Brian Chaffin's menu bar, you'll notice it says 2:43 or something in the morning. That's very revealing about Brian's sleep habits and work patterns.
It is so absolutely true. But you can see more than that too, man. Look, let's look at John's menu, right?
Yes.
Neat, clean, tidy, no nonsense. It is what it needs to be, and it is you know, lean and mean, as Kelly put it. You look at mine, and it's just like, bleh, you know, it's just information everywhere, and just I've got the Skype menu bar item. I don't even want that, let alone use it. And I haven't bothered to take the time to deal with it, and that's very, very indicative of my personality. And Kelly's is neat, but she's got a little extra going on that down there. And what do we have with Jeff? We have Jeff is fairly neat, but there's a whole nother layer of stuff with Jeff. Whole nother layer sitting there with Bartender. So anyway, I think all of these, there's a lot to be seen from all of these.
Yeah, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking it's a statement about our personalities and on some level our psychological state as well, which means mm-hmm. that John is probably the most stable out of all of us.
Oh, yes.
Probably the most simple-minded.
No. Most stable, organized, and no-nonsense guy around.
There you go. I think that's Brian. It exactly.
Thank you, Brian.
Absolutely, man.
All right. I have a couple to add to the list. Bartender, which is what Kelly and I are using to have that little drop-down menu of extra menu bar items. And I found that to be incredibly handy, especially on my 13-inch MacBook Air, because I have limited screen space. And because I tend to be very organized with the way I keep track of all these different things that I do, I also have this thing about consistency. And so I ended up moving Bartender over to my main Mac as well and using it there for consistency.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely consistent.
Yeah.
I have
issues like that.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Yeah. And Fantastical. That's one of those things that when it came out, it was like, how have I survived without this on my iPhone, on my iPad, on my Mac? And I love it because it gives me a really great view into my calendar without showing me a lot of extraneous stuff. But then it also lets me enter all of my appointments in more like conversational speak. So like if Brian and I were getting together for lunch tomorrow, I would just type in lunch with Brian tomorrow. And it would assume that we're going to have lunch around noon, which would be wrong because on Brian's schedule, we should probably do it at like 5 or 6. But it would create the event. It would find Brian in my contacts and attach him to the event as well. And it's just done all of this without me typing anything more than lunch with Brian tomorrow.
You know, there's something else revealing about this menu bar, and that is, real quickly, I have my iPhone on a special stand that sets it up, and it's right next to my display. And maybe one of the reasons why my menu bar is so simple is because there are a lot of things that I let my phone take care of, like weather and stocks and calculator and stuff like that.
Okay, I can totally see that. Yeah.
You know, I'm the I know we need to wrap this up, but back in the pre-OS 10 days, I used to pride myself in how many rows of extensions, you know, I could get going on my Mac, and that's also, I think, it's the exact same kind of thing, and I bet John did not do that. I bet John was actually quite proud of how lean he could make his Mac run.
Well, that's one of the things I do to get myself out of trouble, as I've learned, is I try to keep a very simple and clean machine. And I know I do a lot of reviews and I do a lot of messing around, but I think it's because I do that kind of messing around that I focus on keeping my machine simple and not loaded up with things that are going to conflict and cause me problems, because I hate it when my Mac starts having headaches. I hate it.
Yeah, that sucks.
I call that Tuesday.
All right. Well, on that happy note, we really are out of time. I will make sure that there's a link to Kelly's article in the show notes, as well as links for each of the menu bar items that we all mentioned on the show today. Brian, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having us.
Sure. And John, thank you for joining me as well. And yeah, and if everyone wants to start analyzing us based on our menu bars, check out Kelly's article, because the graphics there are probably very telling about us on a profound level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let us know what you think of us in the comments, of what you can extract from that information. We'd be happy to see your psychological analysis of us.
You say happy. I'm not sure you know what that means.
Yeah, I don't think this could turn out as well.
Actually, what I mean is I'm happy to see the psychological analysis of you, Brian.
Yeah, fair enough. All right.
All right, fair enough.